Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed King, the one we worship and bow down before this day. Amen. Our text is the Epiphany Gospel, Matthew 2. We pray that God send us the Spirit. Oh, gracious God, pour out the Holy Spirit upon the church this day and give us great wisdom, the wisdom of faith, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to believe in his death for us, his resurrection for us, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of eternal life. Grant us the Spirit and faith and wisdom, we pray, in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Pastor Buescher, did you know that God likes the Dallas Cowboys? God's favorite football team is the Dallas Cowboys. I had a young child years ago in Illinois come up and say that to me. Did you know that God likes the Dallas Cowboys? And I, of course, bit and said, well, why do you think he likes the Dallas Cowboys? He said, well, the Cowboys have a star on their helmet, and God put the star in the sky for the wise men. God likes stars, so he must like the Dallas Cowboys. And I said, even that's a stretch for me, huh? And of course, with my incredible sports wit, I countered him and said, no, I think God likes Notre Dame. I hope he likes them a lot tomorrow night. Because Notre Dame has a gold helmet, and the streets of heaven are made of gold. So God has Notre Dame stuff all over heaven. Do you think I one-upped the kid? I don't know. God doesn't really care a whole lot about football. But why did God put the star in the sky? Why a star? Well, it isn't because he likes the Dallas Cowboys. Why didn't God just send a prophet to the wise men and tell them, a Savior's been born, come on. Why didn't God have angels appear to him like he did the shepherds and to Mary to speak the truth? Why not just give him a dream or a vision? Either he did that for Joseph, didn't he? Give him dreams. Why a star? Well, there's lots of reasons. I want to give you three today as we ponder the epiphany of our Lord. Star. First of all, I think the star in the sky is there to teach the wise men, to teach all mankind this important lesson. Number one is to teach us the utter foolishness, the futility of trying to find salvation ourselves. Who gets the credit for the wise men coming to worship Jesus and believing in Jesus? Do we give the credit to the wise men? They had such incredible brain power, they figured it out. They were so educated and so smart, they were just had such good thinking and creativity, they figured it out mentally apart from everybody else. So we praise the wise men for their great brain power. That's not how the story reads. God gets all the credit. God does the revealing. God does the leading. God leads them right over the house to where Jesus was. The wise men are like little children. They're in darkness, which we're all in darkness, stumbling around, trying to find our way. And so God, by the star and the star he puts in the sky, God did that. The wise men didn't do that. And God revealed that the King of the Jews had been born. The wise men didn't do that. God did that. God revealed that. And God led them to Jerusalem. And they're in the Jerusalem from God's word. They find out he's in Bethlehem. And then the star, it says, rested right over the place where the child was. He's like, he's a little, here he is. Come on, a step further. Here's the house. I put the star right over the house. Here he is. Now, go in the house. There he is. God does the teaching, the showing, the revealing. He's teaching us educated, smart people, think we know everything. You don't know how to be saved. You don't know how to take away sins. You don't know how to conquer death. You don't know how to have peace in your life. I must treat you like a little child and show you and lead you and guide you and give you faith. A couple other Old Testament stories I think of is the people of Israel wandering in the desert. Remember they were in the desert? Did they just get out a map of the desert and find their way around? God led them. They're in the desert. God put a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. God led them through that desert. God provided the food for them. God did everything for them. It wasn't their thinking, their brain power. God did it. And now the star for the Gentiles. I must do it. I must show you. I must reveal it to you. You can't figure it out yourself. The question becomes then, what is our star today? Are we supposed to look up at the stars and figure out stuff? All right, what are you doing here, God? Show me. No. Our star today, our light today, if you will, is the Word of God, the Gospel. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word is the light. And this is even taught in the story. They see the star in the east and they follow the star to Jerusalem. But then in Jerusalem, they get out the Word of God. And the Word of God from Micah says he's in Bethlehem. It's like the Word of God replaced. All right, the star's here for a little while. But now it's the Word of God that you need. The Word of God is your light. The Word of God is your lamp. It is your star. So, dear friend, you want to know how to have your sins taken away. You don't figure it out in your own mind. You go to God's Word. And God's Word says it's through Jesus' blood that you're forgiven. So believe it and submit to it. You want to know if you're dying, if you're really going to go to heaven. Is there really a heaven? Am I going to live forever? Is it really all true? You don't try to figure this out and look up. Is there heaven up there? What do the scientists say? No, you go to God's Word. God's Word's the star. And it teaches us that Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. He's conquered death. And there is paradise because he says so. And I submit and believe God's Word. You want to have peace in your life. You want there to be joy. You want to have a purpose in your living. You don't try to figure that out and listen to all the psychologists out there. What do they have to say? What's the new program? What's the new 7-step, 10-step program that I can follow? None of that. Go to God's Word. It's your star. And God's Word says, put your faith in Jesus. Know He died and rose for you. And Jesus is your peace. He is your joy. Trust in Christ. Believe in Him. That's the star of God's Word that reveals that. You want to know if God really loves you. You have trouble. You have trials. 2013 doesn't look like a good year for you, maybe, you think. There's sickness. There's disease. God, do you love me? Do you care, God? You don't try to figure it out somewhere in your own brain. Let's look around and see if God gives me a sign. He's given you a star called His Gospel Word. And in Jesus, we know God loves us. In Jesus, we know God cares. That our God will never leave us or forsake us through the trials and tribulations of life. God's Word's the star. I heard on a commercial where America is in 26th place. We rank number 26 in teaching math and science to children. 25 other nations, I guess, are ahead of us. That's not good. But here's a bigger problem. Do our children and youth today know not merely math and science? Do they know the mercy and salvation of God? They're not going to figure that out in their own brains as they sit in a school, except our school will teach that. Well, they must be taught from God's Word. Parents, Sunday school teachers, day school teachers, we're all together here, the church, and raising the children, the youth, by the star, the light of God's Word, to know the mercy of God, the salvation of God in Jesus. They're not going to figure that out, that Jesus was born and lived and died. These kids are wise, weren't they? Praise be to God for their wisdom. Parents have been doing a good job. Sunday school teachers and teachers, wow. They must be taught the Word of God, that we be number one when it comes to knowing mercy and salvation, not 26th. The foolishness of trying to find salvation ourselves, God leads them by the hand all the way there. Secondly, the star would teach us the faithfulness of God. God keeps His Word. God doesn't lie. God keeps His promises. Great is Thy faithfulness. Say it with me. Great is Thy faithfulness. Pat's going to sing a solo of verse 1, are you? He will after church. What a great hymn. God is faithful. As I mentioned in Bible class, the first person I think of in the Old Testament when I think of the star, the first person immediately my mind goes there is Abraham. And I think we're immediately supposed to think of Abraham, among other things, of course. Remember the promise to Abraham. God promised Abraham, I will make a great nation of you, and from that nation will come the Messiah, the Christ, who will be a blessing to the whole world, to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Messiah, the Savior, is going to come from you, Abraham. And to reassure Abraham of that, God said, look at the stars in the sky and count the stars, so shall your descendants be. So the stars were a constant sign, wow, a great nation's coming, and the Messiah's coming, the great descendant's coming. And there are many great stars in the Old Testament, as led by the Holy Spirit. Moses is a great star, a descendant. David's a star that shines. Solomon's a star that shines. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, the prophets, all stars. The people that believe. Esther, Deborah, Ruth, Rahab, all stars in the sky, great descendants of Abraham that believe. But now the wise men don't see 10 stars or 20 stars. The wise men see one star. And one star dominates. That one star means the great descendant now has come. The one we've been longing for. Get rid of all the other stars. We don't need them anymore. We just need that one star. Jesus, the Messiah. He's the one that will conquer sin, death, and hell. He's the one that will deliver us. That star is here. God's kept his promise. All the way back to Abraham, he kept the promise. God's faithful. You probably have already broken your New Year's resolutions. And we're 6 days in. I tried to be nice in Bible class. That was my resolution. Richard, did it really work? I broke it at least halfway. It's bent really, really bad. God will keep every resolution in 2013. He is resolved to forgive you and forgive you, to be with you and be with you, to give you peace, to feed you, to help you, to guide you. He will do it. You know, I learned Friday night something I had been taught but had forgotten. Of why a teddy bear is called a teddy bear. My beloved wife, our kindergarten teacher, went and bought a teddy bear for her kindergarten class. And I just got in a conversation with her. Well, why is this thing called a teddy bear? Why isn't it called a Polly bear? A Patty bear. I kind of like that. A Robbie bear. A Johnny bear. A Harrison bear. Why is it called a teddy bear? And she reminded me it's after Teddy Roosevelt. You know, he was the president who liked animals and liked to hunt, but supposedly he saved a bear and wouldn't shoot a bear. And so because of his mercy, they made a bear after him called the teddy bear. So the teddy bear that we play with goes all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt. Who really cares? My point is that when you think of the star, may we go all the way back to Abraham and the promise of God, and that God keeps his promises. He's faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Say it with me again. Great is thy faithfulness. And last of all, the star would remind us and show us our glorious future. The star is here to show us our future. And what is our future with Jesus? What's our future? It's heaven. It's paradise. I also think of the book of Daniel. In Daniel, I believe, chapter 12, Daniel says that the righteous... That's you and I. We who believe and are baptized, we're righteous in God's sight. We're right with God because we're forgiven by the blood of Christ. We're washed and cleansed. We are righteous by the grace of God. The righteous shall shine like the what, Daniel says? Shall shine like the stars in the sky. There it is. So that star reminds us of our future. We're going to shine like the stars. We're going to be lifted up from this miserable world, this place of tears. We're lifted up. Now we're downtrodden and beaten down often. But we'll be lifted up like a star, exalted. And we're going to shine with a new body, a glorious body, an immortal body. We're going to, no more death, no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, no more war. That's heaven, that's the future. Jesus takes us a step further. He says we're going to shine like the sun, which in a way is even better than a star. Be like a sun, wow! The resurrection of the flesh. The star means Easter. The star means the last day. The star points us to the conclusion. He's just a baby, but already we know he's going to die. He'll rise. He'll ascend. He'll give us his word. He'll baptize us, feed us his body and blood. We'll be in heaven. I read an article on traveling destinations for 2013. Where do you want to go this year? And every month they had a new place to go, and I thought this would be a good gift to the pastor and his wife, Pat. So this will be part of our voters' meeting vote today, too. Just kidding, church. In January, you're supposed to go to New Zealand because it's warm. And that's where they made The Hobbit. Beautiful scenery. Go to New Zealand. Who wants to go to New Zealand this January? There we go. In February, to Hong Kong. And I have been there. The Chinese New Year. the year of the snake, I think it is. Whatever that means, I don't know. Let's go to Hong Kong. Who's going to sign up? I think in March we're supposed to go to Washington, D.C. Why we want to go there, I don't know. The Cherry Blossom Festival. I think the dogwood's good enough here, isn't it? Maybe we skip March. April, the American Samoa. Who wants to go there? Yeah. Island out in the Pacific in the winter. I'll go. And then in May, I think they suggested Louisville to go to the Kentucky Derby. And we can all sip the what? Mint, julep, whatever that junk is they drink down there. We'll all have that. I didn't continue because we're not going to go. Too far away. Cost too much money. And I have a greater destination in mind. Whether it's 2013 or 2033 or 2043, whatever year, whatever month. And what's that destination? It's called heaven. Glory. To shine with my Lord and be with him forever. That's our destination. The wise men were in that house with Jesus, but they wanted to be in a better house called heaven. They knew that through him they would be in heaven. That's our death. Is it possible to go to heaven? You better believe it. All things are possible with the Lord. Does it cost a lot? Yes, it costs Jesus his very blood. But for us, it's a free gift. We get the ticket to heaven today in our mouth called Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. It's possible. We're going to go. He'll keep his promise. That's our destination. How we thank God for this Epiphany star means many things. It would teach us humility, the foolishness of trying to find our own way. God must lead us. It reminds us of the faithfulness of God. He kept the promise to Abraham, he will to us too. It shows us our glorious future, paradise. We shall shine like the stars. Praise God for that Epiphany star, his revealing of truth to us. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the offering.